Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moxie and Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm not Tom Viscardi. Y'all are just going to have to put up with me. This is Rocky. Tonight we've got Chief Dan on, we've got Father Ray, and we've got Will Travell, who Hey, Will.
Yeah, I'm here. I was going to ask,
okay.
Could you do your best Tom impression for us then? Jeez.
That's probably as good as I can do. Well, I could talk about getting chiggers, but, you know, as far as an impression of him, I'm not too good at impressions. And well, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good, man. I'm good. And hey, not to rub it in, but chiggers don't bite me.
You know, they do me a little bit, but when they got Tom, I guarantee you, his legs look like Indian corn.
Oh God, they ate him up.
I, I've never seen a lady like that before in my life.
At this point of the show, it's his fault for not being here. Indian corn. No, chiggers don't get me, and I'm not allergic to any of the poison, the sumacs, the ivies, all that stuff. Somehow I've got a natural tolerance to all that stuff.
Well, you know, they don't really bother me. Ticks, I'm afraid of it now.
Oh, I'm scared to death of them, man. That Lyme disease is no joke, guys.
I got bit in the belly button 1 year, and anyhow, I got this bad fever, and I can't smell anymore. There's some things that I can't taste. But,
so did you get the Rocky Mountain fever?
The doctor said it was ehrlichiosis, and I said, "Well, what is that?" And he said, "Well, it's a disease that was discovered by a guy named Ehrlich." So okay,
yeah.
I mean, now then, me and you both know the same amount. But
hey,
it was
I'll be honest with you. You know, we talk a lot about the woods, and of course, what y'all do and what gets done happens out there. I'm not scared of the bear. I'm not scared of the big cats that are places. I am deadly afraid of the tick now, and the Lyme disease, and the I think it's called Rocky Mountain fever. The stuff people catch with these things, man. And you know, Lyme disease is forever, and it mimics symptoms of so many different diseases. And you even have to find the right kind of doctor in some cases to deal with you, because it's still on the fence if they believe this or that or the other about what Lyme disease is.
Right.
No, it's
well, you know,
I'm scared of ticks, and I grew up in the woods.
That's the two things that I'm truly afraid of is ticks and wild hogs.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, ticks will make you sick, but hogs will kill you and eat you. Or kill you.
And I've heard people laugh about that, and I'm thinking that's no joke, man. That's no joke. Those pigs are they'll gore you, tusk you, and they're smart, right? They'll
Yes, they are.
They use I forget the name of the kind of warfare, but they'll surround you. You know what I mean?
Well,
they'll have. You think you're dealing with ones in front of you, and they're behind you too.
When they hear the gun go off, they know to run, and you may not ever see them in that particular part of the country again. But at the same time, you know, I saw the one guy. He shot one three times with a 30-30. We told him that he needed more gun than that. Anyhow, they took him to the hospital with his calf and thigh cut sliced open. And I saw what it did,
Sometimes I forget where you guys are. From Arkansas to Texas, there's all kinds of those kind of stories about the wild pig. One day, not today, because I know we've got a show for everybody, but one day let's talk about the perils and the things you deal with going into the woods if you're looking for Sasquatch, looking for Bigfoot, looking for evidences, or even if you're just going out there in the first place. Some of the things like ticks you might not give a thought, and then some of them you might be more scared of a black bear. And like you said, they never bother me. I know he can smell me. I know he knows, they know, she knows, whatever. But pigs are scary. Let's be honest,
pigs
some of the cats
smarter.
That aren't. Oh my God.
Pigs
and,
are
smart. But what I was going to get at is, like, you talk about smart pigs, man. Texas had this problem real bad, and I know it popped up in Arkansas. We're so off topic right from the jump. But they will go and break out domesticated pigs, and something about a pig that's an interesting thing is a pig can go feral without reproducing, meaning like its offspring won't be feral. You let a pig loose out of your pen And within a year or two, it's growing tusks again. It's growing the hair again. It's going feral again. And then
it doesn't take very long for them.
It doesn't. And the way we raise pigs, so you end up with the I know you've heard the stories about these guys that claim, and I believe them. I really do, of seeing a one-ton killer pig out there.
I've never seen anything that big. I've never seen anything that big.
Well, I haven't either, but we've all heard monster pig stories, haven't we?
Well, me and the
And they're coming. Those stories are coming from pigs, farm-released pigs going wild again and breeding with wild populations and all the growth hormones and the things that we do to the food-grade pig, whatever you call it, the farming pig. They grow bigger by nature, so when they go wild again, when that boar breaks his girlfriend out and they go out to the woods, you hear this all over Texas about these giant damn pigs, man.
Yeah.
Oh, boar, wild pigs. Anyway, on with the show. We're straying, Rocky.
Oh, well, that happens at my age. anyhow, we have Chief Dan on. And him and Father Ray are—they're kind of centered in the New Mexico area at the time,
yes,
anyhow. And they have Father Ray brought up Dulce, New Mexico, which I've been there. I've been through there. I know it didn't stop and.
Been there.
Spend any time.
Yeah.
But anyhow, Father Ray, are you there?
Yes, I am. Shall we say a prayer?
Okay. All right, let's do that.
Absolutely.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Loving God, please bless us. Help us to learn from one another as we share our experiences, our knowledge, the hearsay that we have about the world you've given us, particularly this little corner of the world, Dulce, New Mexico, and creation. Help us, Lord, to make a step forward in coming into contact with this creature, Bigfoot. We make this prayer in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen. In the name of the
amen.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Well,
I think that deserves a bravo, too, man. That was so well done. So well said.
Thank you.
For the subject and how we started out. And well-chosen words, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Dulce, New Mexico. Now, Chief, you feel free to jump in. I'm certainly going to defer to you. My knowledge about Dulce is limited. I've been watching the History Channel's The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, and then I went to YouTube, and there was a video about that. It was entitled, I think, Further Secrets of Skinwalker Ranch, and it was an interview with Travis Trevor, who has been to Skinwalker Ranch. Now, Skinwalker Ranch, northern Utah. And
right.
In the course of the interview, Travis was asked, are there any other places like Skinwalker Ranch? And
yes,
he said yes. And he mentioned Dulce, New Mexico. And I thought, oh, I know Dulce. I've been there. I've kind of been assigned there. I know people there. And I've heard of stories. I've heard about Sasquatch, about the Bigfoot, and he's been seen there. There is a mountain in the northern part. And I visited and stayed with a family near the mountain, and that claim is that there's something going on inside that mountain, Is it a government project?
The Dulce Base.
Dulce Base, is it going on there? They said,
I don't know.
Is there
I've heard that, though. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, this is deep.
And that's going on. And also cattle mutilations. Now, I know of the Gomez family. If you indulge me for just 2 minutes, to give a little bit of a history. I'm a priest. I know another brother priest. My first assignment as a priest was with Monsignor Leo Gomez at Sacred Heart Cathedral. Monsignor Gomez is from Dulce, born and raised there. His grandfather was given a homestead. Now, I was trying to figure out, is it put by President Ulysses Grant? Was it by Rutherford Hayes? I don't. But he and some other his grandfather and some other families were given land to homestead in 1879. And so the Gomezes went there and they established a ranch and Monsignor Gomez's grandfather named the place Agua Dulce, Sweetwater. And then about 3 miles to the east is a small village. Dulce today is about 2,000, a little more than 2,000 people, and it's the headquarters of the Jicarí Apaches. There's a village a little to the east by 3 miles called Lumberton, although Monsignor Gomez's grandfather named it Agua Mara, bitter water. And Lumberton got its name by the fact that they harvested lumber there. And there was a train that went by and stopped two or three times a day, community with school and with high school there. But then that's where Monsignor went to high school. But then it died after World War II, and they weren't harvesting the trees as much, it died. Okay, back to... But I know the Gomez family. I've stayed there with them. I blessed their ranch. And Mario Gomez, Monsignor Gomez's big brother, he owns the ranch. And he's told me about cattle mutilations that happened in the 1970s and 1980s. The cattle went missing, and then they found their... the bodies of these poor cows, their tongues were taken out, their sex organs, etc. And he attributes it to the government. Jicarí Apaches, got to go back. As I said, these homesteaders, they came in 1879. 1889, the Jicarí Apaches were with the Mescalero Apaches in southern New Mexico. They didn't get along. So the government said, okay, Jicarías, you're going north. You're going up to, and they went up to Dulce, New Mexico. The family tells me about the first winter that the Jicarías were there, and they gave them sandwiches at their front door, and they gave them blankets to help them survive the winter. But it's an incident where the homesteaders were there 10 years before the reservation, before the Jicarías were there. And so, but it is the headquarters of the Jicarí Apache Reservation, and there are companies that get permits from the Jicarías, and they harvest trees, they mine coal, they might do natural oil a little bit, etc., and pay royalties to the tribe. And so I spoke to Mauricio yesterday. He told me about his cattle mutilations. I spoke to Dave Ortiz. Dave Ortiz told me about a fellow by the name of Hoyt Velarde, who used to be with, now, Chief, you'll have to help me. I think he was with the state police. He has some land kind of to the south, along the ridge south of Dulce, and he would have Sasquatch Bigfoot conferences. He invited people to come out, camp on his land, and they would And they had conferences about Bigfoot. And they spoke that the Bigfoot is there. They did not have their conference last year because of coronavirus. The tribe said no, not because of disbelief in Bigfoot, but rather because of coronavirus. And so there's I tried to get his number, and I spoke to Chief Leonard Dan. I asked him to get in touch with him. He asked for Dave's number so he could. He sent Mr. Velarde an email, but and I'm going to stop talking there and give the floor over to you, Natami.
Okay. Yeah. It's a very high country, a lot of timbers up there in Doozy, real pretty country. So I went through there twice. I commuted back and forth from Kansas back to Farmington because I was working in the oil fields in Kansas and Oklahoma. So one time I was going back, driving through there after midnight, about 1 o'clock, I took a wrong turn in Dulce. And I ended up in the fairgrounds or ceremonial grounds. It's a big area. And there was some corrals there and some other structures, but there was no activities going on. So I turned around and my headlights caught a big creature. The only light that shone on it was from its belly button to its knees. Big guy. So that was the first time I ever seen anything like that. This was back in 1993, I think it was. So that was my first sighting of a Bigfoot. And they started telling different stories about their encounters. So I believe they're around. They can read our minds. That's how they communicate with each other through ESP. So
your first sighting was in Dulce?
Yes.
Very
up,
cool.
Up at the fairground. Yeah.
And as a native person and tribally still homeland. What do you think about those? Like Father Ray brought it up. This is very interesting to me about he was talking about Skinwalker and mentioning Dulce too. They have allegedly there are bases there, and Native Americans I talked to have swore they're there. One of them is on the side of a levee, one of those giant buttes. I'll call it a butte. A butte. And they're in the mountainside.
Yeah, a butte or a mesa, yeah.
Yeah, a mesa. That's the more common term. Yes.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Are they there? Is the government there? Because every time you hear about the mutilations and things like that, they're right next to some kind of covert activity. And I mean, that's what I said. I said when Father Ray was talking, that we're in a deep subject.
Yeah. Well, I live west of Farmington, probably about 30 miles into Arizona state line. We had some mutilations there. This was involved with sheep.
And were they doing the same thing to the sheep that we hear so much about
yeah.
the cattle? And
yeah.
I don't want
yeah.
to
sheep,
blunt, but the
horses, sheep,
taking
horses,
the eyes, the tongue.
Big dogs, yeah.
Boring the anal area. I don't want to be too graphic,
oh, yeah,
but
yeah. You
these
know,
are things that wild animals aren't doing.
Yeah. Well, what I understood was, I was talking to some of these elders that lived out there. We got skinwalkers everywhere nowadays.
And would you do us all, the audience and everything? I would love to define a skinwalker. And we've touched on this on the show, and the Wendigo and things like that, and Native American lore, and lore hell, today you hear these stories. They're common knowledge in certain areas and accepted as it's still going on. This isn't history. What is that?
What they do is they meet every morning, I mean every month, in a certain area where there's an abandoned hogan or any structure that people no longer live in. They all meet in there. There could be anywhere from 5 to 10 people. And they have a headman. And he talks to these people that are there present. And while he's talking, he changes into these different animals. Like he could be a big wolf, tear down to a coyote. He could be a deer.
Yeah.
He could change into almost anything, buffalo, deer, as he's talking. Then he starts singing, and then he gives assignments to these people that are present there. And then they stand behind this, a skin. They stand behind it, and then he starts singing. He said, choose whatever you want to be tonight. Each one has an assignment to do. So he starts singing. Only one song. That's all you need, all you learn to be a skinwalker. And while he's singing, these skins, they start crawling up their bodies, all the way up to their head till they're fully dressed into that animal that they want to be. Then they give them assignments. All this is voodoo or witchcraft, whatever you want to call it.
So
maybe the first one would be to go out to this home about 30 miles away and go there and put a curse on this beautiful girl that this guy had married. But this other person is also in love with this girl. So he's paying the headman money to put a curse on the boyfriend or husband.
So they could
either die in a car wreck or be in an accident of some sort or fall off a cliff or whatever.
So they all have
that kind of assignment. It's all jealousy. Maybe this
like
guy
said,
next door would have a brand new pickup truck, brand new, and he wants one like that. So the guy pays this hitman maybe $300 to put a curse on him so that he can have a truck like that.
So it's like you said, I think you said it beautifully, like in Creole cultures, like voodoo, it's bad mojo, it's bad business, bad medicine, dark magic. I got you. I understand. Yeah. Yeah.
And then
so that's
one time.
Go ahead. No, but that's the origin of the skinwalker in native culture.
To learn how to do these things. There's some that are as little as 11 year old can learn that, to do witchcraft.
Yeah. Well, an older Cherokee man once told me that the Wendigo in history and in his tribal history were people or of the tribe that did things close to what you're saying, bad magic, we'll call it, and that they would become Wendigo because of doing the bad magic. They would become flesh craving, yeah. and thus separate from the tribe and someone to hide from,
human
and your
flesh.
Brother would no longer be your brother. They would no longer be human in a sense, even though they could appear
yeah.
human, right?
The way
right.
I understood it, they became they like human flesh.
Exactly.
And the only way that they could go about passing the Wendigo curse from themselves to the next man was to actually eat human flesh and to basically the old werewolf story. If you're bit by a werewolf, that's what you'll become. But
that's how I heard it too. That's how it was explained
yeah.
to me.
And they would just pass it on to the next man to rid themselves of the curse.
Well, Chief Dan,
yeah.
Wendigo and Skinwalker, difference or just different words for the same thing?
Different things, different words, you know, different languages. They called them
yeah.
something else, and we called them different too. So,
right.
No,
and I've
the
heard
most
stories
of that,
about them. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Me?
Yeah. Well,
the most
I was
that,
just gonna say I heard different things about them that like you'll see a dog in the woods or a wolf, and if you look at it closer, you'll see that there's something different about it, something wrong. Like sometimes. The average man driving in the road, a city feller, might not notice. He just saw a scraggly, very large animal. But someone with the eyes to see would see that it was a Wendigo, a Skinwalker. But no, I didn't mean to interrupt. Please go ahead.
You know, the only way to really know if you're looking at a Skinwalker on the road, alongside the road, or what? Any animal or wild animal will not make eye contact with you. They always tend to look away, but the
right.
Skinwalker won't. He'll stare at you.
So he's
that's
still
how you
human
know.
In his. He's still human in his. I don't know the word. He's still human in his. Essence.
Yeah.
Oh, that's scary. That's scary.
So, and then the most advanced ones, they make themselves invisible. They can come
oh, wow.
into your house undetected. They can sit up in the corner of your room and stare at you and see what you do or
yeah.
what you say. So that one, it's almost like watching a television.
Well, you know,
yeah.
The only animal that can detect that is a cat. He'll look around in the house, and if he sees one, he stops and then hisses at it. Then you
yeah,
know
I
that
keep cats.
Something's
we were,
in there.
Do you keep cats?
We were talking about them consuming human flesh. The thing that happened in LaFleur County down this way, the other side of the Oklahoma line. The reason that the Choctaws went after them is because they started out stealing vegetables and stuff like that, and then it went up to they're stealing their animals. Then they started stealing kids. And when it was all over with, they actually found the bodies of 19 kids. Okay, that's the story. I don't know, you know, I've never been able to find out all the facts or the fiction of it. But there are several groups of Indians that say that they are, well, my friends over in Oklahoma, the one he swears that that a Bigfoot is carnivorous and that it prefers the flesh of kids. But the one guy down in Philadelphia, Mississippi, when Tom sent me down there, I was talking to him, and he asked me where I was staying, and I told him I was out behind Theron's mother's house, and he told me that I was messing around in the wrong area. That was the right area to be in if I wanted to, you know, end up being pork chops or something. But he was convinced that it was a flesh eater, the eater of human flesh. And there's, you know, there's a number of tribes that think that Bigfoot is a human flesh eater, as well as the skinwalkers. The guy that I talked to in Arizona.
Well, Rocky, think about what we're talking about, and that's what I said, like, at the beginning about, we're talking about Dulce, and Father Ray mentioned Skinwalker Ranch, and you get up in those areas, and both of those areas are supposed to have, you know, the hidden bases, and then you go into another aspect of the Bigfoot phenom, the culture, the concept. Are they alien? Are they otherworldly? Do they move through dimensions? Because you're talking about a very sensitive area for a lot of phenomena
yeah.
that doesn't just focus on the Bigfoot, like, but Bigfoot's part of it. And I've been out that way. I've been to Dulce. I've been to the other place where the Mesa and you know, there's vents out there, man, in the middle of nowhere on these hillsides, on these mesas. And what are they venting? There's, you can go see these things if somebody's willing to take you. And a lot of people aren't. I mean, I spent a lot of time out that direction with the Apache. We discussed it before. And I preferred it way over in the high desert with the Mescaleros. Nothing crazy is going on over there with those cats. Casino, painting, and peyote, you know. That's
right.
What's happening there.
That can be some pretty crazy stuff.
Right, but what I'm getting at is like Chief Dan's first experience seeing a Bigfoot was in the Dulce area. And,
right.
I mean, we cannot ignore the mutilations, and we cannot ignore the tie it has to the old stories of, like, there's supposedly these bases there, you know, and whatever's going on. Do you know what I mean?
I mean,
we go here a lot.
I saw a thing on TV some time back on the History Channel. They were talking to some Native Americans in that area, and the one was saying that him and his brother went into this tunnel, and they didn't stick around. They said that they saw things.
Right.
But then there was a guy that said that he had actually been inside there in one of the lower levels, that he saw, he said he wasn't sure if they were experimenting on people, or they were cooking groceries, and, you know, the aliens.
Well, and again, I didn't want to go too far into that. And what I was building toward is, of course, Father Ray.
Yes.
What do you think? And you've been to these places, and you've talked to Chief Dan more And what do you think about what I was just leading to and what I'm talking about those subjects and what we're getting at, even Rocky coming in with like meat eating and carnivorous, something to be very, very frightened of. And historically, Chief Dan was even telling us in the last show, like, well, no, these are not things to not be feared per se, but they taught us. They've been here since been here. I find all that truly, truly, because we're looking at origin stories here, but at the same time, the places that we are talking about tonight do have that mythos about government and basically X-Files kind of stuff going on and the cattle mutilations. And like, I love that Chief Dan brought up sheep, because you never hear about smaller critters getting this happening. And I'd love to hear your point of view from your knowledge and where you're coming from. And then I'd want to hear Chief Dan. And what does he think about that? Like, his first experience was in Dulce, which is one of those places that's associated. Like, you started this show mentioning the Skinwalker Ranch, and we went to Dulce. We are talking about some very psyop kind of stuff, too. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Travis Taylor, he said when he was asked, are there other places around that are like Skinwalker Ranch? Because Travis has been there in Skinwalker Ranch in Utah for 2 summers, and he said when they discover or something, it leads to more questions. There seems to be radiation coming up from the ground, but and he's speaking as a scientist. And yet also it seems like there's energy coming from above the ground. And when he was asked, are there any other places like this? And he mentioned Dulce, New Mexico. He said there's a place in New York. He made mention that all of these places are similar topographically. They're in a bowl. They're in a valley surrounded by mountains. And yes, that's the topography of Dulce. I've not been to Skinwalker Ranch.
So nature or man's science? Nature or man's science?
It's possible. Was there a meteor that? Because I think in one of the shows there have been meteor strikes on the Earth, and apparently so many million years ago there was a meteor that hit that area in Utah. I don't know about Dulce, but it's a bowl. Topographically, it's a bowl, a hollowed out area and surrounded by mountains. Very beautiful area. Very beautiful.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And temperate. I mean,
yes.
I always wanted, I have that on my list. If I could ever retire from the life we have to live, I want to go to the high desert. I love it out there. Always have. But no, my thought on that is more of the, I'll use the word esoteric.
Yes.
Esoteric. We are in the esoteric in a way, whereas usually we're discussing things that we're basically cryptozoologying. We're on the concept of a missing something we just don't notice that's 100% natural. Now,
correct.
Where I find it really interesting to have your ear to ask the question is where does that fall in the story of man? Like, this is a question to ask a priest.
It's even in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, the serpent was the most cunning of all creatures, and. And then begins the story of the serpent having his conversation with Eve. Skinwalkers are real in that there are people who, for bad, for evil reasons, open themselves up to evil. to the devil, to
God,
the father of life. And they open themselves up to, I'm jealous, I want revenge, or I want revenge, or I want to get even, or I want to, this fellow has, this other person has something I want. And in Navajo way, skinwalkers are always evil. They're not good.
They're never good.
They're there to put a curse on someone, to destroy, to hurt.
In the same way that that's a question to ask a priest, I think that's a beautiful question to ask a Native American chieftain. The same question, where these things lie. And Chief Dan started with, the only creatures that can see them are cats. And
yes.
See, I love that, because I always keep cats. And cats do some weird stuff. And the points of view, like I'm trying to like bridge a gap there, because let's ignore the fact of government intervention and anything like that, because we're teetering on the edge of alien. Is Bigfoot an alien? But the Navajo have a history of this creature. Is it man? Is it beast? Is it an in between? Is it spiritual? And then now we're on the skinwalker, which is we can decide the skinwalker is not the same as the Bigfoot.
Yes.
Absolutely.
No.
Right.
No.
So to that point, I love this this dynamic between the idea of Chief Dan and Father Ray as to give us the lay a point of view. Does that make sense? I mean, sometimes I stumble, but I think it's a beautiful question if everybody understood me.
I do. Yes, skinwalkers.
You got
evil.
Me?
Skinwalkers evil. Bigfoot is good. Bigfoot protects. He looks out for the people, but yet you can't get – he's mysterious. You can't get too – close to him, you can't get too familiar with him.
And it can be violent and bad. Like Rocky was going to the stories, we've heard those, and they come from out west about them being meat eaters. And a lot of Wendigo skinwalker-ism nests in the story. And to Chief Dan, where does Bigfoot fit into that? Can a skinwalker, like you said, he picks a form. Can he pick the form of Bigfoot?
Yes. They could use their hide, and I don't know where they get that from, because Bigfoot generally will not expose their dead. They hide him somewhere. There's a place in central Utah. It's called Seven Mile Canyon. It's right outside of Price, Utah. They got some high cliffs, and there's some caves that are formed into those cliffs. That's where they hide their dead, and they seal that wall.
See, that's always been a big question for Bigfoot researchers. There's no digging up dinosaur bones. There's no history of finding the bones, and it's always been like a question, like, what about the dead? So they, in a sense, bury their dead. They hide their dead.
Right. Also, there's two types of Bigfoot. One is almost human-like. The other one that is vicious and can attack you and rip you to pieces, those are
like
called skunk apes.
Skunk apes.
So the skunk ape is a more animalistic, violent.
Yeah, they can attack you and tear you to pieces. They're generally in the southeastern part of the United States, Florida, Georgia, and Alabama, those areas. They're kind of like swamp people.
And Rocky, that's what we've been like. We've been on about a lot because Arkansas, where Rocky's at and the suite is at, Arkansas has this old history going back to the early 1800s at least. I've been doing a lot of research trying to find the newspaper reports.
Yeah, like the creature from
the
Boggy Creek. Yeah.
Yeah, just like, yeah, like that.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It is different.
Yeah.
That's a neat thing. That's a very neat thing. And Tom's explanation for that about inbreeding and their environment and it's hard to live in the swamp made sense to me. And we've always been battling the idea of, like, it's got to be an 8-foot tall creature, and it doesn't. So I love that concept. So in Navajo and Native American culture, there are variants of this, lack of a better term, creature.
Yeah. Also, here's another scenario I want to tell you people. So in the early 40s, before the atomic age came, uranium was a big thing. In my area here, there's a lot of uranium mines. Most of those are left open. They were never sealed.
Oh,
so,
wow.
And when it rains, the water goes into those mine shafts, and it collects all these chemicals from the uranium.
Yeah.
And when the water sits at the bottom, well, it's really bright, bright blue. So
wow.
Some of these animals, like the lizards or maybe even a coyote, they go down there and drink that water.
Wow.
Every day they drink maybe one whole month. Then they begin to change their form. They could start walking like a human. And all the time, you could see the glow on them at night.
Oh, wow.
But
wow.
But then, they roll in the dirt and the mud to hide themselves. So even
wow.
The lizards, they change. They're beginning to change. Because we've got some two-headed ones and two-bodied ones
yeah.
come across.
No, you say that. I've seen that out west in Arizona, New Mexico. Two-headed lizards aren't that uncommon.
No.
Like, whatever's making it happen, they do that, don't they? I've never thought about that. Wow.
Yeah, they drink right. that water. It's all bad
yeah.
for the animals.
And I hate to go there, but what do you think about the ideas of Dulce and the base and like where Skinwalker Ranch is, and we could name about three other places in those mesas and in those places. The natives, what is the consensus?
Well, what they got is that they have a secret entrance. Nobody
yeah.
knows where it is. In Dulce, up on the
but
mesa.
Folks believe it. They believe it wholeheartedly. It's there.
Yeah, it's there.
Yeah.
But when you look at that mountain where they say that base is in that mountain, it doesn't show anywhere on the mountainside where they dump the tailings from the mine when they're digging into it. They usually
mm-hmm.
dump the waste
yeah.
down the side of a mountain.
Could they be carrying it out?
There's none there. But I understand they got a real about 5-foot thick steel wall. I mean doorway.
Wow.
That
wow.
it's painted or made out like the side of a cliff. You can't really tell. But at night, they slide open and then
they fly out
in small crafts. I don't know, to these government installations to spy
well, Rocky,
on them, see what they got.
Rocky, you've done
yes.
a lot of traveling. You've been out to these places. Have you been near any of these places, not just Dulce, but places where those are supposed to be? What's your thought on them as a what would you call it? You're just going in for the reason you're going in. You haven't lived there. You're not from there. You didn't, you know, because the people from those places, they swear up and down. And like I said, I've seen Vince. And folks are weird about even discussing it, that these exist or not.
Right.
And what's your opinion?
Well, I know that around military bases, several military bases, I've talked to people that swear that there's a Bigfoot-type creature that lives there.
Yeah.
All right. At the same time, I was an air winger. I spent a lot of time out in the desert, and we saw, we didn't see Bigfoot-type creatures, but we saw lights in the sky that was traveling too fast to be anything that we knew of at the time, and totally silent. It's hard for me to say what exactly I think they are. It's easier for me to tell what I think they're not. But, you know, on the one hand, I convinced myself that, you know, the UFO thing, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I'm not saying that I believe in people from another world. But, you know, the UFO thing I've been part of that on an airbase. But I have, for some reason, it seems as though these things have a connection with military bases. At C4, okay. You had a nuclear plant, and there's been a lot of people saw a lot of weird stuff around it. Okay,
sure.
Yes, I'm going to go along. I'm going to go along with Chief Dan on the drinking of the water and the exposure to the soil, because
mutating,
you know,
animals.
Right. And I don't have any doubt about that at all. Having seen it. I mean, the coon that me and Dad carried out, never seen anything like that before in my life. And I've been in the woods all my life.
We always do this, man. Our time it just flies like it shouldn't, and it just always, we open up a can of worms that I'm just dying to like I want to know Father Ray's opinion on UFO phenomenon. I want to know Chief Dan's opinion on UFO phenomenon. Like, do you see these things? Both aspects of it, and then like how we bridge those middles. We do so good, and time is fleeting. Jeez.
Well, the good thing of it is every time we get started on something like this, we run out of time, but there's always next Wednesday.
Yeah, man. And Chief Dan,
will
you join us again, and can we start there with the what Native Americans think about the lights in the sky, because you guys see them too, right?
Oh, yeah, we got dancing stars and all that.
Have you heard
of this base in Nevada? It's called Area 51.
I went there years ago.
That's where they come from.
I got all the way up to the gate. I mean, I went and saw that. And, you know, White Sands, you know where White Sands is?
Yes.
I ran into so much trouble around White Sands. Everywhere I went, I was being turned away. Or getting checked for no reason. And I know it's close to the border, but even going to get a taco one day and nowhere near anything official, federal, or otherwise, I was being checked. I don't know how else to say it. Checked. And
man,
my whole
experience, we are out.
Like,
we are out of time. And if y'all don't mind, before we go, I would like to do a shout out to our friend Doyle. Glad to see that he called in. And the Swede is trying to call me right now. But the time is here, and hate it, but let's take it up next week. We're into the lights in the sky.
I love it.
All right.
I got more to tell about the mutilations next week.
Well,
I'll talk about it.
Next week we'll do
absolutely
that.
The lights
thank
in the sky,
for
the mutilations,
in.
Everything.
Thank you. Thanks to everybody for calling in. Will, you're a blessing. All the rest of y'all, thanks for calling in. We will see y'all back here Wednesday night.
Good night.
Yes, sir. Good night, sir.
Next Wednesday, guys.
Tune
in, everybody. Tune in.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Father Ray.
Yes, I'm here.
Well, folks, you know, it's time to say so long. These mutilations.
Mr. Thomas yes.
And his guests, and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week. Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one